When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
BT and Sal back on the fan. Before we get back to the calls here, and we'll have the perfect parlay pick segment coming up in a little bit. We'll take some calls, 888-808-1019. Dude, since you brought this up the other day, I can't stop listening to this album.
You got to follow your boy. I know what a good beat is. Come on.
I know. It was just a good pull. Like, I used to love that album, but it's been years. The way we listen to music now is different because I used to take however many CDs that I wanted that day, bring it in my car, put the CDs in the car. Okay, I'm in an Eminem mood or a Kanye West or Beasties, whatever it may be.
Okay.
And then you had that. And then obviously, you going back to when the iPods became a thing years ago, you'd have all those albums on there. But now it's like, I got the Apple Music.
I know. You get lazy and you don't appreciate it. Like back in the day when a song would come on, you'd be like, oh, did I catch it at the right part? Is it at the end?
Right.
I'm talking about on the radio.
Yeah, well, you had no choice. It wasn't rewind or start when you wanted to.
Right? Yeah, the CDs were awesome. I remember I got it for Christmas. I think I was in high school. No, I didn't have a car. I guess my first year in college. My parents got me, it was called Blaupunkt. The German brand, Blaupunkt. I think it was a Blaupunkt 5-CD changer that I would put in, that I actually had installed. It was in the trunk, and it was like kind of bolted
the subwoofer
up.
And all that?
I didn't have all that stuff. No. Good question, but I did not, right? I had things dangling from the, from the mirror and the cheesy cologne and all the other, the air fresheners. No, but it was, and it was five, and like it was so high tech, and this was in the 90s, early-ish, mid-90s. And man, oh man, you'd fire up those five CDs and you would bounce in. A lot of the ones you just named were in there.
So how do you listen to music now or consume your music?
I'm a big Sirius XM guy. Okay. I've got probably 12 stations and they're very varied, very eclectic. So that's how I bounce around. I just bounce around.
Yeah,
boom,
right.
Boom, 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 boom.
Jimmy's in Warren County. What's up, Jimmy?
What's going on, BT and Sal? How you guys doing?
How are you, Jimmy?
Hey, Jim.
Good, good. I'm a diehard Giants fan and I have a pretty good understanding of the game. So what I noticed about Daniel Jones is he never can consistently make what they call the pro throws and the pro reads. Now, realistically, he'll probably get a job as a backup somewhere. But do you guys think in any case that he might not get a job and have to go play somewhere else? Because if it's not a five-yard hitch, he can't make the throw.
Well, hold on. When you say go play somewhere else, you mean like in a different league out of the country?
Yeah, I
mean,
he's going to get a job. In a different league or something. Yeah, like in a different league or something.
No, no way.
Snap.
No, he's going to get a job. Some of the scrubs.
He can't anticipate the deep end. He can't hit the seam unless it's a busted coverage.
I know.
5 out of 10 times, he can't hit the slant in stride.
Yeah.
Because the wide receiver is sitting down. So backups in this league, they're important. I understand that. They're not the best. But they're pros.
Well, he did,
they can
though.
Make some of these pro throws.
I'm not disagreeing necessarily, Jimmy, and thank you for the call. I feel like Jones has regressed, and I think it's because of a lack of confidence.
Yep.
And I think it's two things. I think a lack of confidence and an expanded playbook or opening up the offense and asking more of Jones. Daniel Jones did. I don't care where he is now, and obviously right now he's unemployed. Daniel Jones won a road playoff game with a Giants team that wasn't very talented.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that happened. Nobody can take that away from Jones. It's why, even against my better judgment, I started to believe in him a little bit after that, going into last season, thinking, all right, let's see what he could do. Plus, you saw what he did his first year with Pat Shurmur. He was throwing touchdowns and throwing the deep ball well, whatever. Did have a big arm. He regressed, and there's no way to dispute that he just wasn't good enough. He'll get a job as a backup. Does that mean he's going to be serviceable? I don't know. But, I mean, I do think that there's still potentially something in there, even in a limited role as a quarterback in the NFL.
Well, one of the things that Phil talked about is, you know, where he goes and how he's going to have to be reprogrammed a little bit, you know, get in the right spot and kind of readjust the wires. I think his wiring is really off. And I don't think he's inherently amazing, like anticipating the spot and throwing the ball. His placement's okay. It has gotten more pronounced in terms of being bad because I think he's lost his confidence. Wherever he goes, I want to see him go to a place where, like, hey, listen, dude, don't worry about throwing it to the wrong team. Just let it fly. Like just try to spank it 330 down the fairway. If you put it in the rough, that's okay. But take a shot.
Kevin is in Hoboken. What's up, Kev?
Hey guys, thanks for taking my call. I've been a Giants fan my entire life, and I grew up listening to Mike and Dog in the car with my dad. So it's cool to finally get in and talk to you guys. But would love to ask a question about, you know, the Jones news, and then make a point and hear your thoughts on the
offense. Kev, what you got, buddy? Got.
You know, understanding this season is dead. I think, you know, there's two different possibilities here with the. With the quarterback change, and I'm wondering, you know, it doesn't matter if everyone loves DeVito. At the end of the day, these guys are there to win, and they, you know, they know that the DeVito Linsanity era is done. We skip over our second quarterback and move to our pseudo mascot, you know, almost sideshow guy. You know, do you think this can galvanize the locker room, or is it too splintered already? And, you know, guys kind of know what they have with DeVito, and it's not going to make a difference this weekend.
I think that's to be determined. I think, and that's why I used the word moxie when I ran through. Thanks for the call there, bud. Sounds like you've been with us for decades here, going back to your pops. Very cool. I think that he's a guy who is respected, I think, because just to get here, I think guys who are maybe a little more physically gifted, they appreciate the road that's less traveled. I really believe that. And listen, I think the personality, I know we keep feeding into the Jersey thing, the Cutlet thing, the DeVito thing, the Italian thing. But it matters. It matters in the sense that one of the great things about being from here is that we are relatable to more people, more different types of people, more races, because we're exposed to it. Think about this. You're from Long Island. Mm-hmm. You grew up in a diverse area.
Right.
I'm from Brooklyn. I went to high school in Manhattan, as diverse as it gets every day. And, you know, he's from Jersey, and, you know, he's exposed to it. I think when you're exposed to all types of people and you have a little bit of skill, I think there's more of a runway to be accepted by the guys. You know, I really do believe that.
I think it's an interesting point. Like, I guess one thing I never really thought of, and again, I don't get into where guys are from, but there is something to be said about where if you're from the West Coast, and we saw what the quarterbacks with the Jets for years, like, you know, the USC guys, the West Coast guys, they just don't have that toughness factor. Like in New York, I can't remember a player ever being from here that didn't have the confidence or toughness or attitude. Doesn't mean DeVito has the skill, mm-hmm. but the other stuff that we look at that can be a detriment even when you have the skill, whether it's Zach Wilson or Daniel Jones, like that's not going to be the issue for DeVito. We know that no matter what, he's going to have that, as you said, moxie or confidence, whatever, those intangibles to succeed here. The question is going to be how much of the talent does he have to really make his mark in the league?
Yeah, and listen, you grow a thick exterior when, you know, you're not practicing in 80 degrees and sun every day. I mean, you know, whether it was his little league team, Cedar Grove, or his high school, Bosco.
I mean, you just think it's an attitude?
Yes,
too, with
it does, for sure, because this guy's, especially as a quarterback, you know how many practices DeVito probably had in 31 degree weather with 15 mile per hour whipping winds and rain, and it's just toughen jobs. That doesn't mean you're going to be a great NFL quarterback, but it gives you a calloused exterior that gives you a chance to overachieve. And here we are. He's starting.
Week 12 perfect parlay pick segment coming up next on BT and Sal.
Stuck in traffic and need to vent? Dial the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
All right, BT and Sal's Friday football picks brought to you by ELEC 825, Building Our Future, and by London menswear brand Charles Turwitt. Shop your new favorites at ctshirts.com.
It is the perfect parlay pick segment, week 12. Already week 12. BT, you have the lead, 145 points. I am in second with 115. Nobody cashed a parlay last week. Hoff is in third. Hoff was last year's champ. He is sitting in third with 70 points. A reminder, two-team parlay is worth 25, three-team worth 50, and a four-team worth 100. correctly picked the money line winner, Jets Giants, a straight up no spread, is worth an additional 5 points. And next week, we'll add the Turkey Day teaser ahead of Thanksgiving. You don't like that?
That screwed me last year. I was just kind of wedged in there in the middle of the season. I was doing well when you brought that in.
You didn't hit it.
I like it.
It's a three-team Turkey Day teaser, 35 points. That's next week. All right, BT, what do you have for week 12?
Well, first, I got my music. Okay. What'd you say? I'm at 145 there, Sal?
Yes, you have a 30-point lead over me right now.
You know what's really hurt? I've actually lost the Jets and the Giants. Like, I've lost a lot of those just pick them without the points.
Hoff gained 5 points on us because he had the Colts last week. We both had the Jets.
All right. Well, I'm going to go for a little three spot. Not two, not four. We're going for the trio. Bucks at the Giants.
Oh.
We're touching. We're doing more than touching. We're grabbing. Yeah, we're going to grab here.
I'm a little curious here.
Over-under.
Okay.
I'm not going with the six either way. Don't really feel good about that. The over-under is 41 and a hook. We'll go over.
Wow.
I'm going to go over. Well, I know the Bucks could score a little bit.
Yeah.
I know that the Bucks are not very good defensively. And I think, I think Tommy's going to lead a quarterback, a touchdown drive or two. I'm not saying he's going to be phenomenal, but I don't think they score like 7 or 10 points. I think they do enough to hold up their end of the bargain. Why the hell not? Give me Tampa, Giants, over, under, over 41 and a half. Now, this is interesting, and this might be a little bit of a risk on my part here, but I have been very on point about Kansas City. I've questioned, they don't really cover a lot. They don't score a ton of points. And they have a massive spread this week that they're laying. It's minus 10.5. It's down in Carolina, who stinks. Now, for a team with a very average, given their record, point differential and a lot of games, 16 points, 17 points, 20 points, it's kind of odd to ask them to cover a 10.5 spot, but I'm going to. Give me Kansas City in one of the rare blowouts for them this season, minus 10 and a hook. And finally here, this might be just straight up dumb. The Raiders are plus 6, and they're hosting Denver. Now, Denver, you get a little bit of a mixed bag. They very easily could have beaten the Chiefs a couple of weeks back. They lost 16-14 in that low-scoring game that had their field goal blocked, the potential game winner. I don't think they're lighting anybody up, even a bad team like the Raiders, where they're going to score 30-plus. They're not that kind of team. They're defensively driven, a little dink, a little dunk. The Raiders and divisional matchup, usually you get a little tightness here. Give me the Raiders, plus 6. As they host Denver. So, in summation, very quickly, the triplet here, the over in the Giants, Bucks over is 41.5. Kansas City minus 10.5 at Carolina. And Raiders plus 6 to keep it tight, hang around as they host Denver.
I thought about that Raiders, and I was like, I just don't know if they're tanking or not. It's a tricky thing with some of these teams. All right, Hoff, what do you got?
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
You're up next. What the hell?
Andre Bocelli.
Yeah. Why?
The Italian
for
song?
Italian.
Come on.
Oh,
for
God.
Come on.
You guys with these Italian songs. I don't even get it.
Good right now.
Yeah.
By the way, I'm going for a four-teamer. I'm just throwing Hail Marys every... I'm just going for it.
Okay, all right.
At least that's what I'm saying today. If I win, maybe I'll change it up a little bit. All right, so we're going, first of all, to Seattle.
Mm.
We've seen already that Seattle has not been a dominant home team, as we've talked about in years past. And Arizona is really looking much better than anybody wanted to say in the beginning of the season. They're getting a point going to Seattle. So give me Arizona plus one over Seattle. Next, I'm going to Indy. Detroit beat the crap out of Jacksonville last week. I don't expect them to put up like a 50 spot, but I can see them scoring 30, 40 points. And I think their defense is still good enough to hold Indianapolis, who, oh, listen, the Jets are up in shambles. So the fact that they scored 28 points against the Jets, I can't see that happening again. Detroit minus 7 in Indianapolis. Going to Houston, because Tennessee just is just a god-awful team.
Mm-hmm.
I'm taking the minus 7.5. I feel like that's an easy game, right?
Yeah,
that's a lock of the week.
It's another easy.
Lock of the week.
That. Yeah.
Okay. Lock of the week.
Yeah, well, neither of us picked that, so easy, I guess, in your eyes.
And then finally, I'm going to, before I get to this last pick, I'm going to be at Mickey Spillane's today doing a guest bartending at 8 o'clock for a very good cause. So if you're not going to Boomer and Geo's event, but you're in Westchester, in Eastchester, Mickey Spillane's, I'll be there at 8 o'clock. KFC from Barstool's going to be there at 7:15. So a lot of celebrities will be myself.
So I heard one celebrity. I heard him, not you. what time are you behind the bar? Yeah. 8?
8 p.m.
He will be sloshed by 8:12.
No, I can't. I have work tonight. I'm going to be hosting.
You're hosting?
Oh, that's right. Okay,
yeah.
There you go.
Oh, man, you're busy. Man.
He does anything not to go home.
Yeah. No, the home is going to be at Mickey's. It's going to be a big party. It's going to be a big party.
Spot. All right.
Final pick, because it's a local pick. I'm taking the Giants plus 6. Like you said, BT, Tampa Bay can't. Their defense is not good, and I feel like they're going to. The Giants have been close in almost every game. Plus 6. Tampa Bay, let's go.
Oh, all right, there you have
all
it.
Right.
Hoff with his convoluted 4 picks right there. Mickey Spillane's,
the
whatever
opera
it may
music
be. Yeah, right, exactly. I wanted to go 4 team this week, BT, but I didn't. I'm going to go 3. And I'm going to start in Miami, where I like this Dolphins team. I really get the sense Miami's starting to put it together. I know New England's been good, and I like Drake May, and they've been competitive. They've won some games, beating the Bears, being competitive against the Rams. I think this is a game where you see Miami open it up here. They're laying 7.5. Initial thought of that is, wow, 7.5, a lot with Drake May playing well. I think Miami wins by double digits, and I feel comfortable saying that with Tua, with the way the offense has been playing. And maybe Miami does what we thought the Jets could have done, and they go on a heater at the end of the season and find themselves as a possible playoff team. I'm also going to, so that's pick number 1. Pick number 2, I'm going to go to Sunday Night Football with this one. Give me the Rams plus 3. Now, I've been anti-Eagles all year long. I haven't been picking against them a ton. But this is a spot where maybe the Eagles get caught here. They started 2-2. They've won 6 straight. And now it just feels like, well, the Eagles are back. They're one of the premier teams in the league, which they are. But the Rams are dangerous. McVay is a far better coach than Sirianni. They're at home. They're getting 3. Give me the just a gut feel here. Give me the Rams to get the victory. And at the very least, I'm getting 3 at home. I think the Philly Eagles are due for a loss, and I think it comes on Sunday Night Football. So give me the Rams for pick number 2. The third one, and look, I really, to be honest with you, for the dramatics and because my heart, I really wanted to pick the Giants, I just can't do it. I've been burned so many times, and my gut says Tampa's too good. Like, to me, the Giants got to win this game and keep it low scoring. I don't think that they're going to be able to do that with the Bucs. Mm-hmm. Who knows? I'm staying away from this game. I'm going to take the Bears. Not a very good team, but I don't believe in the Vikings. And kind of to your point about the Raiders and Broncos, division game could be nasty, muck it up. I'm getting 3.5 points at home in Chicago in what I expect to be a field goal game. I know the Bears have been awful and very disappointing. Even the bad teams win some games here. Give me Chicago at home plus 3.5. Now, so Miami minus 7.5 over the Patriots, Rams plus 3 at home over the Eagles, and Bears plus 3.5 at home over Minnesota. Now for the money line pick, I'm going to pick with my heart here. My gut is telling me the Bucs are going to win the game, but I'm going to pick the Giants here because I want to root for DeVito. I want to have some fun. I'm willing to sacrifice the 5 points and hope that the Giants can give us a winner on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
I'll take the Giants and go against my better judgment that they went outright against the Bucs.
Listen, every time I ride the Giants or when we do the Jets here, they're obviously on a bye, I lose. I like to enjoy the DeVito hype, and I'm rooting for the young man, and I hope he plays well, and I'm going to ride that emotional train as well. Plus, a little strategy here. You know, if you would have gone the Bucs, maybe I could have convinced myself to go Bucs, which I kind of feel a little bit more than the Giants.
Right.
But I don't want to sit there with no Jets and nothing else meaningful the rest of the way. I really hope Tommy can fling it around a little bit, have some fun, give Giant fans something meaningful. More heart than head. Give me the G-Men.
Wow! Give me the G-Men. Look at you. I like that. You're leaving an opportunity to take 5 points on the table.
Give me the G-Men.
All right, Hoff.
Thanks, guys. I'll take the 5 points. Like I said, Giants plus six, but they're not going to win the game. And I do like Tommy DeVito. I do like the fact that it's going to be a close game. But they just haven't proven they can win yet. So until then, I'm taking Tampa Bay.
And Hoff trying to chip away here could gain a 5-pointer
on
us. Hey, who knows? You know how these things go, BT. That does it for Week 12 Perfect Parlay Pick segment. These things can change in a hurry. We have, you know, through Week 18, so we have several weeks left here. And we have the Turkey Day teaser. The points right now, with you leading by 30 and Hoff being buried, almost you doubling him up there, a little more than doubling him up with 70.
That's right.
If he hits one of these 100-pointers.
He's not hitting one of these.
A four-teamer's not a five. He hit a five-teamer last year that made the difference. A four-team is realistic. Like,
come
on.
Not for him, though.
He hit the five-teamer last year.
Not for him this year. He doesn't seem very into it this year. He seems very... Barry just throwing darts at a board.
That's what I did last year.
I was just going to say, he did that even more last year. Oh, five-teamer. Oh, yeah, this team wears blue. I'm going to go with them this week.
He did do that a few times.
This team's got birds. I'm going to go. I'm Angry Birds theme this week.
Like, personally, I feel that the Italian music really set the mood for these picks, and it's a lock. I would put money in me right now.
When we do this on Wednesday ahead of Thanksgiving, that three-team Turkey Day teaser worth 35 points.
I don't like it. I'm already on the record.
I don't like it.
Because I didn't know that we were going to do it last year. It was Wednesday. It burned me last year. I went 0-for-3 and I was leading. I was kind of setting the tone for a while.
The teaser, it's just like a bonus way to get the points.
But you know what? Here's why I don't like it.
I didn't hit it either last year.
But here's why I don't like it, right? And it's really not big of a deal. But the whole premise of this is to go to games that you believe are good choices.
Right.
So now you're forcing me to basically make a pick and maybe I'm not going to bet them, but make a pick on something I might have no conviction in one way or the other.
Right, but here's,
and it's kind of jading the whole process.
No, but here's the thing. First of all, the whole point of this is to entertain. And this gives us.
The point of it is to win.
To entertain. And the Turkey Day teaser gives us action on Thanksgiving to follow. And it's not like you could be hurt by this. You're not going to lose any points by you either hit it or you don't. Like, you're not going to
get... I could lose ground. I mean, if I go...
But then that would mean that I do my job in hitting the Turkey Day teaser.
Yeah, but you do your job that where you didn't actually pick the game, so you're not quite doing the job.
What do you mean?
Meaning the games are picked for us. The beautiful thing about this is looking at the games, identifying what you think is going to win, and then going with the things that you think are going to win. I got to pick these games. Do I really want to take Dallas or the Giants?
Well, but you get a teaser.
I just don't like it, dude.
This should be the easiest. No, I get it.
That's all I'm saying.
I got that.
Hey, Hoff, I got a quick question for you.
Yes.
Outside of, you know, if a woman asks you for a glass of wine or a dude asks you for a pint of beer or a bottle of Coors or an IPA or a shot of vodka, do you even know how to make drinks?
I can put a seltzer together.
You don't know how to make drinks. You're going to be a disaster.
No, I have no clue. That's why we have the professionals
KFC?
Doing it.
Okay. I'm sure he knows how to pour a drink.
Yes,
too.
He does. No, but we also have professionals there too to help out. So I'm not just me. I'm going to tell them what to do.
Oh, okay. Man's coming and flexing.
I openly admit I am not a great bartender. Ask my wife.
Yeah.
Have you ever guest bartended, Sal?
No.
It's fun.
Really?
Yeah, it's so much fun. My God, it's so much fun.
You get like dirty and wet.
Well, it's a little grimy back then. Sure, absolutely. It gets a little mucky.
It's like fishing. I don't
slippery.
Like that. I don't want to touch the worm.
Oh,
ew, yucky.
God. All right. Yucky. You hear what he just said? Yucky.
Call of the Day with Brandon Tierney and Sal Licata on The Fan.
Today's Call of the Day is brought to you by Volvo Cars Ramsey. Finding the Volvo you want is easy at Volvo Cars Ramsey and by Edison Heating and Cooling, New Jersey's heating experts. We have Craig Carton on the line with some breaking news
here, BT.
What's up, Craigie?
Craigo!
Hey, what's up, guys?
Craigie boy!
Hello, Craigie.
He's our guy. We love him. What's up, Craig?
I apologize if I have a bad connection, but I had to give this to you. My main man over here at Fox, Jordan Schultz, just called me and told me that Daniel Jones has asked for his release from the Giants, and they are granting it to him.
Let's go. Where's he going? What team is he going to? The Steelers? Where's he going?
Wow.
Let's go.
Don't know that yet, but it seems like we knew the Daniel Jones era was over.
Yeah.
But Jordan Schultz gets credit for the reporting, not me.
Mm-hmm.
But he has said that he this morning asked for the release, and the Giants are going to grant it to him. So Daniel Jones will no longer be a New York Giant.
I got to tell you, first of all, I love that you thought of us, Craig, and that's awesome. Just, giving us a buzz.
We just happen to be on. At the time.
He likes us a lot. He knows that. Hey, who's your favorite show? Come on. He loves
us. He might like you. I don't know, Craigie. All right, BT and Sal on the fan. There you have it. Craigie calling with the breaking news. I was surprised, BT, and maybe we shouldn't have been, but off of what we saw, look, when you go from starting quarterback to practice squad, you know that it's an issue. We talked about that, but did we think that Jones was going to ask for his release? I mean, it makes sense. Shouldn't have been shocked, but I guess I was initially at that thought. But thinking it through, the Giants certainly shouldn't have been surprised by that. And I think it makes sense for both parties where you have Daniel Jones asking to be released and the Giants granting him that request by releasing him. And now we'll see what's next for Daniel Jones. But we know the future for the Giants is going to be somebody thankfully different than Daniel Jones.
What a crazy season this has been.
Yeah.
I mean, think about this. The Jets firing Saleh early. Now there's GM is obviously gone. Daniel Jones, starting quarterback. I mean, of course, starting quarterbacks have been benched in New York. When was the last time a starting quarterback was released during the season?
Yeah, I mean,
I think that's ever happened.
Well, because think about it. You went from being the starter to the practice squad.
Like, I understand.
Because of the contract, like the circumstances dictate what happened here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Daniel Jones, at the very least, should be the third-string quarterback for the Giants.
But
no?
What would that do?
No, well, nothing.
I mean, based on merit?
I'm just saying you can't
go... Well, he should be the number two, because he's better than Drew Lock.
Well,
if you're going to sit him, if you want to hold it to
but
that.
But you could say, like, oh, all right, well, we're just going to move him. Didn't this happen last year with Zach, where it went from when they benched him, it wasn't even benching
it happened with Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
Russell Wilson in Denver. It happened with...
Okay,
so there's some precedent.
It happened with Wilson because of the contract, which is
correct.
Why...
Well, he also asked for a trade.
Which is why it happened.
Wasn't so much the contract with Zach. Zach really had intimated he wanted out.
No, with Wilson contract, with Jones contract, with Zach, no. But my point is, it should have been Jones to the third string, and he wasn't going to see the field anyway, but they just wanted to make sure of it.
Yeah.
Once you put him to the practice squad, that is like I was actually surprised at that. Now, it makes sense. Maybe I shouldn't have been surprised by that. And then the same thing with this. Like when you hear Craig say that, and that's how we found out about the breaking news, it was surprising to have that happen today, but it does make sense in the line of things. You go from starter to practice squad, releasing that statement, or not releasing the statement, Jones addressing the media yesterday, basically saying goodbye.
And then getting mocked forward by certain people.
Yeah, which was ridiculous, but classless. But anyway, you kind of felt like, all right, well, that's the end. We know that, but there's 7 weeks to go.
Yeah.
And then now it makes sense as to going to ask for our release because there's no point. He's not going to play again anyway. Here.
No. And now you can start the healing process. You know, there was a lot of anger, you know, healing in the football sense where Giant fans who didn't want a quarterback there, who didn't want him there, who didn't want him to come back this year or whatever, didn't want him to get the extension after 2022. I mean, this has been one long conversation that leads to this, and it's been very repetitive. It's been very disappointing. I think at times it's been a little bit unfair to Daniel Jones because I asked Phil Simms this, and if you guys missed it, you can go check it out, the free Odyssey app, hit rewind, see what's going on, and see what Phil said or anything about the show. I it's my opinion the Giants failed him more than he failed the Giants. I do believe that. I believe it's close. I don't think Daniel Jones played well enough, but I can sit here with full confidence, at least for me, I believe that the Giants did him dirty. Not by the benching. I don't mean by that. He deserved to lose the spot at this point. But by the different coaches and the different systems and the lack of weapons and the lack of protection up front, he did better for them than they did for him.
Yeah,
that's my opinion.
He's had 6 years. I disagree.
I'm not saying he should be back for number 7.
No, I know, but I'm saying they gave him every chance. You could say the different coaches and different. They gave him every chance to succeed. Mara said, we screwed this kid up. They tried to fix it.
They won Lion.
Yeah, but they won with him the first year with Shane and Dable. And then what happened? Like, they had success. They tried to get to another level and couldn't. And that wasn't Dable and Shane's fault. That wasn't the Giants' fault. That was Daniel Jones' fault. Last year, even in the limited time he was healthy, he stunk. This year, he's been healthy through 10 weeks. He stunk. So whatever the reasons are, to me, I think that Daniel Jones got every opportunity. They tried to squeeze every last drop out of what they could out of the potential of Daniel Jones. And it just never happened. BT and Sal on the fan. Mike is in Massapequa. What's up, Mike?
Hey, I've been a fan since 1958. I have 5 season tickets. And let me tell you something. What the Giants did to this kid, I agree with you 100%, is terrible.
What would you want them to do?
Well, let me tell you, first of all, I've gone through all the ups and downs with this thing. Since
we get it.
61 to 80.
Yeah.
And we got to get rid of him. Unfortunately, the kid works hard. He's a good kid. but we need to reboot. We need to reboot because he still can't go through his progression.
So wait, I'm just that confused for a second, Mike. What did they do wrong? Can you explain that to us?
Well, is it the coaching? Possibly it's the coaching. I think this kid is going to be good somewhere down the line. He might be another Geno Smith, Donald, whatever the heck.
I've got a better comparison for you. I don't know if he's staring at the same fate, but I think based on his body and his skill set, I think it's more likely he's another Rich Gannon or Rich Gannon light. You know, Rich Gannon, you guys remember him winning the MVP.
You think Daniel Jones is going to take a team to a Super Bowl?
Well, I'm just saying, I understand, like Rich Gannon, and I just want to pull this up. I don't want to miss anything. Rich Gannon, I know, played for the Vikings, the Chiefs. Rich Gannon, before he did anything, Rich Gannon was bouncing around. He was a career backup. Then he obviously pairs up with John Gruden. He wins a bunch of games, wins the MVP. Rich, I believe he was 37 or 38 when he won the MVP. So Rich Gannon, I'm telling you, there's always a bridge to another spot. His first 3 years were with the Vikings. He didn't start a single game. Then he went to Minnesota for 3 years, and he was 5-7, 6-5, 1-3. Then he missed the entire season with a shoulder injury. Then he went to Kansas City for 2 years, didn't play, and then he went 1-2. And then his next year he was 5-1, and then he went to the Raiders, and he took off. That's a lot of football. That's, you know, age 22 through age really 32 before there was the first discernible sign of progress that Rich Gannon could lead a team. And what was Rich Gannon's best traits? Number one, he was tough. Number two, he was smart. And Rich Gannon was an athlete. Rich Gannon could run. Like, if you look back at the old highlights when he beat the Jets in the playoffs in the early 2000s, the year that he won the MVP, Rich Gannon was running around. He was running around the football
field. I never remembered Rich Gannon to be a running quarterback.
I'm telling you, Rich Gannon was an athlete. Take my word on this one. I promise you. Hey, by the way, you know, he got with the right person. He got better. He got healthy. I understand that there's a lot of circumstance that led to this, but Rich Gannon had a 17-year career. There were probably 5 years that were noteworthy, and the first 10 or 11 were complete non-entities. Look at his stats.
Yeah, I mean, but that's to me, the aberration where the guy got better or made his mark at age 34, 35. I think it's just right situation, right circumstance.
How
right
about now. Alex Smith?
Here's the better example? I mean, Alex Smith was a top pick.
Daniel Jones was 5 picks behind him. Alex Smith was number one back in 05.
I think a lot of people thought that was a reach. I just don't think Daniel Jones is good.
I'm not saying he is.
And the difference between Jones and Darnold and Geno, those guys didn't have a good opportunity when they first came into the league. Daniel Jones has had every opportunity. He's been here 6 years and also was successful as far as winning a playoff game on the road with a team. So where have those other guys had any success? Jones had it and then failed again afterward.
I'm not saying it's apples to apples. It's more of me showing, and by the way, Alex Smith is the more recent example. Many of you know that because he, you know, 2005, he was the first pick. Rich Gannon, I don't believe he was a first rounder. I'm pretty sure he was not. And he had a very transient bounce around the, you know, around the league kind of a career. I just point out, Rich, just to show you that, you know, there are guys who regenerate. Or I think in Daniel Jones's case, it would be maybe a regeneration. I think in Rich's case, more specifically, it was just proving finally that he could actually play at this level when at least Jones has had a year, certainly a year. And you can make a case that his first year when he threw, 22 touchdowns, 20 picks, the fumbleitis, I get that. But there was early flashes that Daniel Jones was very talented.
Yeah, I mean, I guess. I would not take a chance on him. As a backup quarterback, maybe. They gave him every opportunity. He failed, it's over. You know what? I hope Daniel Jones has success in a league for years to come. I'm just glad I don't have to watch him play quarterback anymore.
I'm going to second that.
I'm looking for Tommy DeVito. I'm looking forward to watching that on Sunday. Who knows how it's going to end up, the results, but it's going to be fun at least. There's going to be a different energy in the building in MetLife.
Think about this. Darnold, quarterback of the Giants next year. Danny Jones, quarterback of the Jets.
Ah, dude.
We're going to run to the hills. You'll never see us again.
No,
we can't talk about that stuff.
Anywhere but New York. All right, that does it for us. Thanks to everybody who listened and who called. We appreciate each and every one of you. Thanks to Zoo filling in for Dove. Thanks to Hoff as well. BT, enjoy the weekend.
Have a great time, buddy. Good week. Really, and everybody have an awesome weekend.
We didn't even mention your Johnnies. We'll get to them
next week. The refs stunk, but Johnnies hit free throws.
We'll get to it next week. All right, that does it for us. See you Monday morning, 10 a.m. Evan Tiki, they're coming up next.